Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us really want to reach levels of optimum health, optimum wellness. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life even more. And that's what I attempt to bring you in each of the Healthy Alternative shows. A little later, I'll be introducing and we'll be talking to my guest today, and his name is Bob Gold. Bob is the author of Are Your Meds Making You Sick? A Pharmacist's Guide to Avoiding Dangerous Drug Interactions, Reactions, and Side Effects. Bob has a BA in pharmacy, a master's from Ball State University. He's a registered pharmacist, and he's been in practice for over 30 years. We're going to be looking at the dangerous drug interactions that can happen, the deaths that happen from taking regular prescription drugs to the level that it's an epidemic in this country. And we're going to be talking to Bob about some of the rules you can use that he's developed so you can have safe medications for yourself. We'll be back with Bob in just a few minutes. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it's going to have a real impact on you. What I want to talk about this week is hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy is where you put a patient in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber and it fills with oxygen and it winds up saturating the tissues of the body with 12 times more oxygen that can be absorbed by breathing. And what this does is this greatly enhances the body's own healing process. Recent research published in the Journal of Neurotrauma indicates that HBOT, how it's known, is able to dramatically help war vets with post-concussion syndrome such as traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Now, normally, oxygen will be transported through the body by red blood cells. With HBOT, the oxygen is dissolved in all the body's fluid, in the plasma, in the central nervous system fluid, even in bones, and it winds up being able to be circulated then to areas of the body that have been damaged to support its own healing process. What the study found is that even 3 years after vets have sustained brain injuries, 1 month of HBOT therapy was able to induce improvements in brain blood flow, cognition, symptoms, quality of life, while the veterans even experienced fewer suicidal thoughts. Now, we're not talking about small numbers here either. For example, in terms of short-term memory, the improvement was seen in 92% of the vets. Complaints of headaches went down by 87%. 93% of those with cognitive deficits, 75% with mood disruption, and 93% with depression all reduced to those levels. We're talking about improvements in mood swing. We're talking about balance, better balance, motor function, and also a dramatic reduction in narcotic prescriptions and to the extent that they got 64% of those folks off of those meds. Now here's the problem. So it sounds like it should be a healthy breakthrough, and it is at one level, but the issue area is the FDA has not approved it for some conditions, and that includes for traumatic brain injury or PTSD. Because of this, the Department of Defense does not allow HBOT to be prescribed for veterans. They say it's an off-label treatment, and they claim that they can't use it until HBOT is approved by the FDA. However, this is bull. The Department of Defense often uses off-label antipsychotic drugs for the treatment of traumatic brain stress and PTSD. So what you're talking about is something that's not true. You're talking about HBOT, which in a month can have a dramatic level of improvement, but guess who gets cut out of the equation? The drug companies. So the Department of Defense is saying, nope, can't do it because it's off-label, yet off-label happens all the time. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. And I have a monthly e-newsletter I put out that's health, nutrition, wellness-oriented. If you'd like to learn about that, go to teplitz.com. You'll see the About Home button. Click there, and you'll be able to sign up for it, and it is free. Now, at the top of the Healthy Alternatives homepage, you will see a button that says Jerry Recommends. Take a look at that. Those are people services that I recommend that you should consider because they can have a really positive impact on your health and your life. Every week I also like to talk about a healthy breakthrough. It's the latest research, this is newest discoveries, and information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, or loved ones. What I want to talk about today are five home remedies that the research work shows actually really works. One is honey to be used to quiet nighttime coughs. Turns out it can do a better job than over-the-counter cough syrups or suppressants. That's what a study found with more than 100 children. The honey also helped reduce coughs in older adults suffering from a cold. What the honey does, it coats and soothes irritated throat to help calm repeated coughing. And the author of the study recommends 2 teaspoons per dose, but do make sure that if somebody has diabetes that they don't use this remedy because of the high sugar content in honey. The second home remedy is using liquid soap if you come in contact with poison ivy or poison oak. What you want to be doing is washing the affected area with liquid soap, dish soap, within 2 hours of contact, and it may actually prevent you from getting an itching red rash. What they did in the study was volunteer medical students rub poison ivy leaves on their forearms, and they washed with this dishwashing soap for 25 seconds before rinsing, and almost half the volunteers didn't have a reaction to the poison ivy. Those that did, it reduced the inflammation by 56%. The third remedy is tart cherry juice. Drinking tart cherry juice can help prevent gout attacks. It can relieve muscle soreness after exercise and possibly even help with arthritis pain. What tart cherry juice has, it has natural inflammatory properties within it. So in the research that was done, it seems to reduce joint inflammation that gout causes. And what they did is they had patients take a tablespoon of tart cherry juice concentrate twice daily for 4 months. They wound up cutting their gout attacks in half. And drinking tart cherry juice daily can also help runners reduce muscle soreness, and it can even reduce inflammation in overweight patients. The fourth remedy is baby shampoo. If you've got crud that's itchy, red, and crusty growing on your eyelids, what you want to do is mix a baby shampoo with half water, half baby shampoo, and gently clean your eyelid with this mixture. It gets rid of the oil and the bacteria, but it won't sting your eyes. And so this is something you can do. Make sure you do rinse well. And the last home remedy is methyl rub, which is like Vicks VapoRub. It's a cost-effective treatment, it turns out, for toenail fungus, and it can often be more effective than the over-counter products that you can buy. What the research has found, applying it to an affected nail once daily helped 15 of 18 adults either cure or partially clear up their fungus. Before I bring on my guest, Bob Gold, I'd like to pause for this message.
Every one of us is under stress from work, family, the economy, layoffs, the inability to retire. These are the realities today. Even if you're doing okay, we all have friends and relatives experiencing hard times. Hey, just watching the news can make you nervous. Make no mistake, there's nothing benign about stress. It can lead to high blood pressure, digestive problems, difficulty concentrating, and increased risk of disease. That's why Dr. Jerry Teplitz wrote the book Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. He presents easy, effective techniques to reduce stress, eliminate pain, relieve insomnia, and gain an overall sense of well-being. Managing Your Stress is fully illustrated and provides hands-on, proven methods you can use immediately. Dr. Teplitz knows how to cut to the chase. He begins working with you from the very first page of Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Click on the cover that you see on the WebTalkRadio.net page in front of you and buy it now. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it will change your life.
My guest today is Bob Gold. He's written the book, Are Your Meds Making You Sick? A Pharmacist's Guide to Avoiding Dangerous Drug Interactions, Reactions, and Side Effects. And dangerous drugs and interactions are really a hidden epidemic in the United States. Both the combination of unqualified use and abuse of prescription drugs become more commonplace as doctors prescribe multiple meds because either they don't have the time to fully diagnose or they're pressured to prescribe certain drugs from advertising people see. And then you've got the interactions that happen that can actually cause death and injury and hospitalization. And Bob and I are going to be talking about this. He's got a BA in pharmacy and a master's from Ball State University, and is a registered pharmacist, having practiced for over 30 years now. So, Bob, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Why, thank you, Jerry, for having me on.
So let me begin with asking why you wrote the book in the first place.
I wrote the book because I work in a hospital and have worked in hospitals for years, and I'm very concerned about the number of people that are coming through the emergency room with drugs as one of the big reasons that they're there. And I wanted to write a book, you know, from kind of the front lines. There's nothing else like it out there.
So what numbers are you seeing coming into the emergency room from drug-related stuff?
Well, each year, 700,000 people go to the emergency room due to their drugs. 2.1 million are seeing healthcare professionals, and they're estimating 100,000 people die. But that is, all these statistics are actually low. No one really knows exactly how many people are coming to the emergency room. If you were to park yourself in any emergency room, you're going to see probably 5 out of every 100 due to their medications.
Now, when you say 100,000 people die, that's from something related to a drug reaction, is what you're saying, right?
Correct. Correct.
Now, why is this a problem getting worse from your standpoint?
Well, you know, when I graduated, there was probably just a couple of billion prescriptions. Now, the number is 3.9.
All written for one person. That's a lot for them to take, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the number in the United States per year is 3.9 billion now.
Wow.
And the second reason is the number of elderly are growing. 39.6 million people were considered elderly, you know, in 2009. And the third reason is people are treating diseases that previously weren't being treated as much, like depression and pain in the legs, high cholesterol, and rightfully so, in some instances, people are getting these medicines. So the number of medicines per person is going up. And then there's ads direct to people which were not there, which kind of encourage them to treat things sometimes correctly, and sometimes they may need other alternative ways of treating their disease.
Yeah, looking at the ads that you see, you know, it's this wonderful rosy picture, and then they go through, and this may kill you, debilitate you, you may die totally, and what the heck, get it anyway.
Yeah, and they don't give you this is my big pet peeve, they don't give you the incidence of each different kind of reaction. So one reaction they may tell you would be 0.1%, one might be 3%, one may be 10%, and they don't give you a good sense of what the real risk for each drug is. So people look at it and they go, well, I don't know, I'll just take it.
It's called, it won't happen to me. My doctor said it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
As a matter of fact, I was visiting my next-door neighbor who was just diagnosed with throat cancer, and so she had a little surgery done, and she's going to get chemo and radiation, but they gave her, because she's having a lot of pain, the doctor wrote a prescription for a patch for her to wear.
Uh-huh.
When she went to the pharmacist, he said, wow, this is unusual. Usually this kind of patch is written like for 12 milligrams or something. And
you're probably talking about fentanyl.
I don't know, remember the name.
Yeah,
but
that's what it sounds like you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, but the doctor wrote it for 50 milligrams.
Yeah.
She literally had it on for about 8 hours and had to tear it off because she was becoming physically ill from the patch.
Okay, you're probably talking about fentanyl, and usually you're supposed to start, if you haven't been on narcotics, you're supposed to start at the lowest dose and titrate up slowly. If you can't, you can get into some real problems with respiratory depression, and we're seeing that in the hospital. So we have some rules in the hospital to try to gently, sometimes the doctors aren't always thinking about it, and they just want to give them, they want to treat, their efforts are well-minded, they want to treat the pain, person's got cancer, but they overdo it.
So one of the problems is in trusting your doctor, you're not 100% sure if they're right and what they're saying you ought to do. How can you protect yourself?
Well, there are some, I wrote in the book, Are Your Meds Making You Sick? I have some rules, 16 rules to prevent an adverse drug reaction. And so you need to find out what are the main common things people are sending to the emergency room, what is happening. Your fentanyl example, and I would bet it's fentanyl, it's only one of the few pain patches. So you would need to know what is typically the problem. That's one. When they've done some recent studies, they're showing that the big problems are caused typically by diabetes meds, insulin. That's when the sugars go down low. Warfarin, which is a blood thinner for atrial fib, and that causes bleeding. Digoxin for AFib, that causes toxicity when the kidneys can't get rid of it. And one real big one is acetaminophen, which causes liver damage. And when you take more than 3,500 milligrams a day.
And for listeners, acetaminophen is like in Tylenol and some things like that, correct?
Correct. You're taking Tylenol for pain, and then you're taking it also, say, for a cough and cold, and you're taking it around the clock, and next thing you know, you're getting too much and it hurts your liver.
And isn't part of it is that acetaminophen can be in several different products, and if you're doing a combination of like a cold and stuffiness and that kind of stuff, that could lead to that overdose without you even realizing it.
Absolutely. Actually, acetaminophen is in a lot of these pain meds. So you hurt your knee, you get a prescription for hydrocodone, you take that, then you're taking Tylenol just for your back pain, and then you're taking it because you get a cough. Next thing you know, you got way too much, and then your liver goes out.
What are some of the other things you need to know? I know you in your book you talk about kidney and liver stuff.
Yeah. What you need to know is you need to keep track. A person needs to understand their kidney values, their liver values, and they need to kind of memorize these and take them with them. You know, if they're having a little trouble with the kidneys or liver as they age, they need to know that that's how you get rid of the drug. They need to know that elderly people are different than younger people. They can't get rid of the drugs as well. So if you're 50 and you're on a medicine, then you could turn into this, you know, when you become 65, your kidneys and liver can't get rid of it. It gets toxic and then makes you faint or change your mental status or things like that.
So elderly folks may need a completely different amount of prescription versus a younger person because of this kidney liver issues. Would that be correct?
That is correct. They just simply can't get rid of it as well. And so you're on, like I said, you're on a drug. Let's say you're on an anti-anxiety drug like Valium. Next thing you know, you're okay when you're 50, you take it three times a day. But then as you get older, and just it's normal that your kidneys and liver start going and not being able to work as efficiently because you're older, just like your eyesight gets worse. And so you can't get rid of it, and it gets toxic, and you don't always, you know, connect the dots. And then you're falling, and you're thinking, well, it must be your blood pressure, when really you're overcooked. And so they need, there's a whole list of drugs that you don't need to be on when you're elderly.
Yeah, I remember with my dad when he was in a nursing home, and they added, he was taking a number of drugs. They added one more to what he was taking, and he started just almost immediately moving in to memory loss, dementia kinds of things.
Oh, boy.
Fortunately, my brother was there, and he got to see the immediate difference, and he said to the doctor, take him off. Took him off, and he came back to life again.
I think they call that delirium, mm-hmm. and that's very common. I had a similar instance with my father-in-law. He got put on a drug for short-term. He was depressed, and they put him on a drug, and it's called Seroquel. It's not a bad drug on its own. It helped at the time. Problem is he went home, and no other doctor wanted to interfere with the Seroquel prescription, and I noticed at a family function he was a zombie, just mm-hmm. was not smiling, was not responding, walked into the wrong person's room and laid down, just walked into a stranger's room, and it turned out I made a big fuss, and they finally took him off of it, and boom, just like you said with your dad, he came back, and he's been back. But a lot of people don't have someone looking out after them or can put, you know, like I said, connect the dots or solve the mystery. And they're, you know, unfortunately, they're walking around with these symptoms, and then they think, oh, he has Alzheimer's, and they start treating that. So you have to do a fine-tuned checkup. That's what I think people need to do periodically. They need to go to their doctor. The doctor needs to spend an hour, go through everything, get labs appropriate for that drug, and make changes.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you, you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and we'll be back with my guest Bob Gold in just a moment.
Improve your golf game today. It's absolutely possible using the DVD Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf, from stress management coach Dr. Jerry Teplitz. Par and Beyond is a revolutionary new concept that yields immediate results. You'll experience the difference the very next time you play. Even the golf pros love this method. Randy Taylor hadn't placed in a tournament for 8 years, but just 1 week after taking this seminar, he came in second. It's not just in your swing, it's in your head. That's why T&I Golf Magazine calls Dr. Teplitz a headmaster. Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf is available on DVD. You can get it by clicking on the Par and Beyond cover on the WebTalkRadio.net screen in front of you. You'll learn new, powerful techniques that will instantly improve your game, whether you're a pro or a duffer. This is your new secret to success on the course. It's a totally different approach, and it comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. And don't tell your golf buddies. You're about to become a winner.
So my guest today is Bob Gold. He is the author of Are Your Meds Making You Sick? A Pharmacist's Guide to Avoiding Dangerous Drug Interactions, Reactions, and Side Effects. And you can learn more about the book at areyourmedsmakingyousick.com, areyourmedsmakingyousick.com. His background is he's got a BA in pharmacy. He's got a master's in business from Ball State University. He's a registered pharmacist, been practicing over 30 years. And he's developed, and in the book, he has 16 rules of safe medication use to help you be able to avoid the adverse and dangerous drug reactions and interactions that we've been talking about. So, Bob, earlier we talked about liver damage, liver values, and kidney values. What should those values be when somebody gets a blood test back on? Because you say to memorize them, so what should they be looking for as the levels?
Well, that's a good question, Jerry. Liver tests, there's two main ones. One's called your ALT, And another one's called your AST. ALT and ASD.
Okay.
And for your, though each lab has their own normals, I'll give you an example. An AST would be usually like 11 to 47.
Okay.
If you ask your doctor, are they elevated, and, you know, say they're over 100, then you really need to be very careful about medicines that are got rid of by the liver.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be something. So let's just say you were a big drinker in the past, then and now you're not drinking, your liver may be hurt. Or if you have some kind of cirrhosis or some kind of hepatitis or some other reason that your liver is not up to par that you know of, besides just being elderly, for example, then you really have to be very ginger and realize that you've got to get rid of this drug that you put in your system.
Bob, what if the number's below 11? What does that mean?
That's usually not a big deal.
Okay, so it's more the upper
side.
Be
unusual, but yeah. Like if you're malnourished or something, sometimes your lab values will be a little low.
Okay.
Okay, your ALT. So I would say, you know, when you start getting above 50s for these liver tests, then you need to talk to your doctor and see, is it significant? And then if it is, then you have to be careful about these drugs. Like a good one would be statins, like cholesterol-lowering drugs, for example, Zocor, Lipitor. If your liver function tests are elevated and you can't get rid of it, then you're at risk for muscle breakdown and muscle pain in your legs. You know, these drugs are not innocuous. They've just had a new study out on the statins suggesting that they can increase diabetes and memory loss. They're good drugs. If you've tried diet and exercise, they're fine. But you have to just really realize that they're still drugs, and they have some adverse reactions.
Yeah, one of the things I'm aware of with statins is that it really requires adding coenzyme Q10 to prevent some of those dangerous reactions from happening, because it locks onto the same receptor cell that coenzyme Q10 does, and so it eliminates it from your body. And that's something in Canada that's required when you get statin. They have coenzyme Q10. In this country, it was ignored.
I have not really studied that issue, coenzyme Q. I've seen some people come in come into the hospital with it, but I've not really studied that specifically.
Okay, now let's go to kidney values. What should those look like, Bob?
Okay, that's a good question. The normal serum creatinine would be 1,
mm-hmm.
The 1.3. When they start getting above 1.5 or 2, then you have to be concerned about drugs that are gotten rid of by the kidney. A good example, and it's in my book, is metformin, which is for diabetes. If here's what happens. The company of metformin actually says you're not allowed to use it. You can't. It's contraindicated if your serum creatinine is greater than 1.5 for a male. But we have people all the time in the hospital. We have a program where we try to catch people that are above 1.5, which is very common, and the reason is because diabetics don't have good kidneys to begin with. And therefore, you know, their sugars are high, which causes some damage to their kidneys, so they really need to be watched. And, you know, otherwise you could get into some different difficult problems with metformin.
Great. Now, with drug interactions, I know when you go from one drug to two drug, there's kind of a mathematical formula as to how much in terms of interactions you might have and adverse reactions. But then as you add 5, 6, 7, and elderly folks, maybe 10 or 12 or more drugs, how do you as a pharmacist attempt to figure out what the heck is creating what negative impact on the person?
That is a super question. What is the drug? What is the disease? You have to play detective. There are some interactions that are almost always going to happen. If you take warfarin, this is like the best example, which is for which is the most adverse drug reaction that you can get for any drug. It causes bleeding. It causes thinning of the blood, which is normal and you want it. It's not a bad drug, but when you add a drug called fluconazole to it, that always, after about 3 days, will cause a bleed. The fluconazole inhibits the liver, get rid of it, and it builds up. And when it happens, boy, you will really bleed out. And so when I see fluconazole, I immediately leave a note to the doctor. If I'm not dosed, sometimes we dose the drug, but I will immediately say, you need to lower the dose. If this is going to be very long, you need to immediately do it. So you have to have a sense of what interactions are really common, what can really, and then I look at the overall person. How old are they? What are their liver values? What are their kidney values? What are all these drugs? And a lot of times you can see these two drugs are interacting, and that's what caused the person to fall, for example.
Are most pharmacists doing what you're doing in terms of this kind of awareness and looking and analyzing, or are they just, you know, sticking most of them sticking the drugs that the doctor prescribes in a bottle and say goodbye?
The advantage I have working in a hospital is I have access to their medications, their diseases, their lab values, and the patient himself and the doctors. The problem in the retail world is, unless you're in some kind of specialized clinic or something unusual, the pharmacist filling it doesn't have the values, doesn't have your diseases, and they're just kind of flying in the dark. And so in many cases, they're not, you know, if a drug interaction comes up that's significant, they may call a doctor, but they're not getting in that level of depth, you know, necessarily. They may catch some things, but they just don't have, the system doesn't work to a point where they have that kind of access. And people are getting their drugs from everywhere. So they're getting them from mail order. They're getting them from, they may come into Walmart, and then they may go to Walgreens, and, you know. And they don't know the person as well, and they have all these texts, and they're filling 400 scripts a day. So I would say they just don't have the luxury that the hospital pharmacists have. And sometimes the hospital pharmacists, they're not on the floor to catch everything either.
So part of what you're saying is, you know, you've got to, besides reading your book to see what's out there, you've got to be reading the labels, reading the inserts, asking questions about how is this plus this going to affect me.
Absolutely. Yeah, people need to know this, and I want your listeners to really take a moment and think this through. If you get on the TV and you can channel surf and you're going to learn how to lay tile, fix a roof, declutter your house, get great abs, whatever, and on and on. There's nothing out there to teach you, hey, you're on this drug, this is how you avoid it, adverse reaction. And all you get is just a list of 100 different problems that could occur with no sense of perspective. And that's what the problem is. So reading my book is a good step, talking to your doctor is a good step, and studying it. People cannot advocate this. They cannot say someone else is going to do it. This is what's scary. People have to take the initiative to really understand what they're doing.
And don't we also have the piece that's out there now with all the research in journals that has been recalled because of, you know, fabrication and the research is being paid by the drug companies and not revealing sources and stuff like that. So isn't that also clouding the issue as to what's really believable out there in terms of what a drug's going to do or not do?
I think that a lot of it is drug ads can be deceiving and not give you a good perspective. You know, a good one would be when you have one drug ad for depression and then you have another drug, if you're still depressed, try this antipsychotic. That's encouraging people to try an antipsychotic next. But first, someone needs to say, whoa, before you try this antipsychotic, first you better go to a counselor. You better join a support group. You better make sure you're exercising and eating right. Don't jump the gun into an antipsychotic. And that's my message. If you try these other things and, gosh, you just can't, nothing can do it, and your doctor or psychiatrist says you absolutely should do it, then okay. So it's not that I have a – and then if you understand you get put on this antipsychotic, realize – this could increase my diabetes risk. Well, what are my chances of getting diabetes with it? And you have to understand that. And that's what I tried to do in my book, is talk about what are your statistical chances by taking a look at, say, if it's 1% of the population and you have 1,000 people, then that's 10 people. You know, try to give you a sense that people in the, say, for accidents, there's 35,000 or so accidents that kill people. So having a sense that, well, how many drugs? Well, 100,000 at least. So you have a sense that the drugs are more dangerous than driving.
So for those listeners who want to explore this further, you can find Bob Gold's book at areyourmedsmakingyousick.com, areyourmedsmakingyousick.com. And this is an important area because you need to look at it for yourself to make sure you're doing what you need to do for you. So, Bob, thank you for being a guest today on Healthy Alternative and sharing this great information.
I really enjoyed it, and you asked some very good questions.
My guest next week will be Dr. Vernon Silvest. Dr. Silvest grew up as a preacher's kid, and because of this, he saw a wide range of human problems, including disease and death. This sparked in him the notion of looking for answers to the questions he was having, and so he went into medicine and ultimately became a pathologist. Dr. Silvest got ill, and in his own illness, which was considered incurable by the medical profession, he had to explore alternatives, and he wound up healing himself, and then he wrote a book about it, The Formula: Who Gets Sick, Who Gets Well, Who Is Unhappy, Who Is Happy, and Why. And his latest book that is just coming out now is called The End of Fear, The Path to Freedom with the Formula. We're going to be talking to Dr. Silvest next week about his journey and how he works with patients now to bring them to optimum levels of health for themselves. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.